Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Phil Tiger. Slacker Podcast.
Hello, Slackers. Welcome to the internet's favorite place to talk about music. This is the Slacker Friends Podcast, a podcast that dissects topical music stories with some of the great and the good. Audio greetings to everyone who's listening on their podcast media. And visual greetings, big waves, to everybody who's watching on the Slacker Phil YouTube channel. Shoutouts to our new Slacker Patreons, Brandon Harris, part-time Bob, who joined the Patreon community this week. If you want bonus podcasts, exclusive Slacker content, playlists, me to listen to music, whatever else, patreon.com/Slacker Podcast and support your favorite content. Okay, so here we are this week, Slacker Friends Podcasts and our guests. I will give you a musical signifier if you aren't watching this. Jack Garrett, here he is, 2016 British Choice, multi-instrumentalist, maker of 2 top 10 albums, brother Jack Garrett, everybody.
I love that song that I definitely wrote.
That song that you definitely wrote for Craig David back in 1999.
Yeah, absolutely, when I was 8 years old. Yeah.
I love the idea of an 8-year-old writing tunes for Craig David.
Just on the phone. Yeah, Craig!
I mean, like, we do have 2 prodigious talents, like, on with us today. Like, I could imagine you writing some banging tracks as an 8-year-old Jack Garrett. But we're gonna come back to that because we want to come to our second Slacker friend today, who is... I love playing the cover versions because like the artists that they're looking at themselves going, that's definitely my voice, but I don't recognize the track. We have got Norwegian Indie Dreamboat, 2 EPs deep with a debut album coming in October. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Soy Pablo, Boy Pablo, EP, Goy Pablo. So many Pablos. Yeah, what's up? How you doing, Boy Pablo? You well?
Yeah, I'm good. You?
Yeah, very good, very good. Yeah, how's life in Bergen treating you right now?
It's nice. It's chill. Not much going on, but yeah.
Have you guys ever shared a stage before? Have you ever been at the same festival at the same time before? Is this the first time you've ever met?
I think it's definitely the first time we've ever met. I'm trying to rack my brain if there was ever a time when we might have been like swapping stages at any point, which is
definitely.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember.
I think this is the first time.
Huh?
This is the first time we've ever met or like have any connection.
Yeah.
This could be the awkward time where one of you goes, no, definitely not met. Money's like going, yeah, we were actually like chatting for half an hour. how are you? Are you well today, Jack? Are you still living in the States? Like, I remember last time I was talking to you, you were living in the States.
Yeah, well, last time I spoke to you was like 4 years ago. So
it's true. Yeah.
No, I moved back to London, so that's where I am now. In East London, because look at me.
Oh yeah, of course. Like you got that sort of hipster bandana on.
Yeah, bandana. At the moment. That's it. So.
Well, we can test you out. Like, if you're a proper East Londoner, what is your order at the coffee shop?
Black.
All right.
I mean, the proper answer there would be I don't go to the coffee shop. I make my coffee at home because I'm, again, one of those guys.
I don't support capitalism, so I won't go to the bigger shop.
Local business.
Mr. Boy Pablo, like, what are you saying? Like, when you go to the coffee shop, what do you order? I bet you you're like a mocha guy.
Well, I order some iced tea because I hate coffee.
That's the true answer.
That's a great answer. That's so hipster to not like coffee. I'm drinking, like, I couldn't be more of a card carrying Irishman if I tried. I'm drinking a humongous cup of tea out of like an Irish mug, saying it says Irish memories on it. Oh my god. So I've sent you over some questions, and we're gonna jump into the very, very first one right now, which is this. I'm playing it to the drums. Pick up your sticks. One of the simplest drum fills ever, but still so satisfying. Yeah. That is M83 Midnight City, the Nelson Muntz from The Simpsons remix, which is really a thing of beauty. It makes me smile every time I heard it. Have you heard that before?
No.
Yeah. So I saw it making the rounds a couple of days ago, right? Is when it started to do its thing on the internet.
I've never heard it before. Who did this?
I don't know. Like, the guy, he did it, he put it up on TikTok, and it was like he just took Nelson Muntz's laugh and put it over M83. And what really annoyed me was this morning I was preparing for this, and I was putting the music in, and I was playing it out loud in the wee cabin at the back of the house. And my missus, who, like, when we started going out, was into really alternative music, and, you know, still is, but she just shouted, going, "That's the Made in Chelsea theme tune." And I was like, so offended.
Oh, it's okay to reevaluate your life at any point during it. Yeah. Growth, though. It's okay, don't worry about it.
So the question is, I guess, around the TikTok Nelson Muntz M83 mashup is, what is your favorite meme and why? Because I know that you're a fan of a meme, Jack, and I've seen many on you, Boy Pablo, you know?
Oof.
There's so many to choose from.
So many memes, man.
Brilliant. Yeah.
We have, like, my live band. We have, like, a little chat going on Instagram. It's, like, literally just memes. There are so many good memes. So I don't know. I like silly memes, though, because like harmless silly shit.
I was gonna say, I'm not sure if there are any serious ones.
Yeah.
My favorite, like, the news could take. Suddenly, news just gets reported through me.
That would be so sick. I saw this one with I don't remember why I laughed so hard, but it says soup dog with a, like, a dog in a soup, and I thought it was so funny.
Yeah, no, good.
A real classic there, Jack. Like, has anybody ever made a meme of you?
Of me?
Yeah.
I mean, a couple. I remember when I was putting the first album out, there was like, and the internet was like properly waking up to meme culture. I remember someone did a lot of photoshopping of my face onto, there's a guy who's on Hunger Games that kind of looks like me, my face onto all of the scenes that he was in, which I remember was kind of funny. There was someone who, someone for a while was obsessed with the fact that my last name sounded like Carrot, and so would Photoshop pictures of Jasper Carrot and me together.
so niche.
Yeah. I remember that for a while. But I got to say, my favorite memes are definitely ones that I feel like have sort of, some sort of like revolutionary blood in them. So for example, Sarcastic SpongeBob is one of my favorite things of all time, simply just because, like, trust millennials and Gen Z to find a way to be able to write sarcasm down in text. Capital letters and non-capital letters and stuff like that. I think that's genuinely like fucking innovative. I think that's really incredible as like a step forward for the written word. SpongeBob.
It's shitting all over semantics.
Exactly. That's incredible. For years we've been stagnating with our writing, and finally someone's woken it up.
Exactly. Flipping go on meme culture. Nicholas, what about you? Like, has anybody ever made a meme of you? I've seen a couple, so like I know it's true.
Yeah. No, in Chile they made one. Because there's a picture of me where I wear these stupid sunglasses, have really weird hair, and I have a scissor in my hand, and I'm cutting the grass. Like, it was supposed to be dumb. But someone took that and like made like a news picture about it. And he said he changed his name and called himself Colo Colo, which is a football team.
Yeah.
I don't know why it's so funny, but a lot of people like in Chile, they loved it.
There's one that like actually winds me up. Like, my friend keeps sending it to me because I just don't understand it. And he sends it to me like once a week. And it just says, it's a picture of a grape with the skin of the grape surgically pulled back. And it just says, they did surgery on a grape. And I'm just like going like, I don't know what this is. Like, I don't get it.
No, you're already overthinking it, mate. They did surgery on a grape.
Yeah. No, not you as well. Stop this.
They did surgery on a grape.
Don't. You're freaking me out. It's too early in the morning and I was out last night.
I'm also a big fan of any meme that my dad sends, because it was definitely one that I was sending to my friends when I was 10 years old. And that's just, it's my favorite thing, is being able to have my dad like sending me like funny memes and like boomer humor. And it's stuff that's already circulated the internet for like 20 years.
Yeah, it's like one does not simply golf their way into war or something like that. Or like Tay Zonde or whatever, the chocolate rain or something like that. I do feel like, because I was around with like the first memes, I feel like a Waltz Moth and stuff like that. I feel like such a meme granddad. Like,
funny. Imagine someone in 2020 sending you chocolate rain now, seriously, being like, it's like, oh, Andy, no, sweetie, no.
It's like the internet equivalent of in Dumb and Dumber when he like walks past the frame that says we've landed on the moon. He goes, we did it, guys!
Oh, man. So that's been in my head all day.
Let's move on to our second question. Getting around playing music on these without getting the video taken down is proven more difficult by the week. That was a MIDI version of the Beatles' Let It Be. Bass player, singer, and vegan from the Beatles, Paul McCartney, still uses the same amplifier he bought when he was 14. So essentially, he's had it for a billion years. What is the most old and sentimental thing you have, or that you sort of keep with you, or that you like, it's just always there? Nicholas, starting with you.
You
want me to put the music back up to have a think?
Yeah. Such a good version.
It's like I'm at a wedding.
No, honestly, like, I've been thinking about that question, and I really don't, I can't think of anything. Like, if Jack wants to go first, I can.
Okay. We'll let Jack take it away first. You're too young to be sentimental. You don't have enough between you to be sentimental over
it. How old are you guys?
I'm 47.
No.
47. I'm also much older than you. Jack, what's yours?
I've got quite a few things. I say I like to collect things. I think a professional would say I hoard, but I do kind of keep close to the things that I've had over my life that have brought me some sort of sentimental value, and I end up just losing them and finding them in random places. But the like I've still got the guitar that I first played when I was like the first electric guitar I had when I was 16, which I've always kept, and I've not changed at all. It's still exactly the same specs as when I had it. It was just like a Mexican built Fender Stratocaster, because everything I wanted to be was Stevie Ray Vaughan, and he had the guitar that I wanted, but I couldn't afford one. And I just got this, and that's been with me. It's my favorite guitar to play. I still love that one. But then, on the other end of that spectrum, I've still got the bouquet that I wore for my wedding a couple of years ago. I think things like that can really, actually, a lot of the sentimental stuff is actually from my wedding. We had a lot of we had a lot of stuff made specifically for it. Like, we had coasters made. I don't think I've got any to show you because I didn't prepare for this. But I don't. Cool, brilliant, great, love it. Love an audio and visual format when I'm just not prepared for it whatsoever. but we had tea towels made and coasters made for mine and my wife's wedding, because we had a little logo that someone designed for us, and a whole it was absolutely incredible. So we've made sure that we keep a bunch of that stuff so that we've got it. And other than that, man, not sentimental, to be honest.
Yeah.
But not in that kind of way, I guess.
Okay. Nicholas, what are you saying?
Does it have to be music stuff?
No, not really, no.
Okay. It's not that old. It's I think it's 5 years old. So it's not too long ago. But there was this shirt that my girlfriend saw at this, I think it was H&M. And I thought it was really ugly. But she made me try it on, and she thought I looked really handsome in it, and I hated it. But she bought it anyway. But I still have that. I still have that in my closet.
I think that if you use that as an example of sentimentality, they would have to change what sentimentality meant in the dictionary.
No, but we're still together though. 5 years later.
But that sort of
in spite of that terrible shirt, you guys are still together. That's amazing.
Congratulations, guys. Congratulations. Well done. Okay, our third question is this. Hey, baby, I'm just a pop star tonight. I'm ready for some action. Sing us around here, try to rock. Who is this singing? Can you tell?
Dustin and the Duck.
Yes, it is Niall Horan doing Dancing in the Dark. 26-year-old former One Direction dude Niall Horan fell and banjaxed his foot this week, claiming he was 6 pints deep when the accident happened, which is hilarious, by the way, because that is the most Irish thing you can say. why did you hurt your foot? I was 6 pints deep.
That's not the reason, not the cause of it.
6 pints deep. Okay, no, don't need to hear anymore. What's the worst or stupidest injury that you've had, Jack?
Oh God, I a couple of years ago was in Minnesota visiting my wife's family, and this was back when you could stand within 3 feet of each other. So they live in Minnesota and they live really close to the Mall of America, which is the biggest mall in America, right? So aptly named the Mall of America. Inside of it is not only all the department stores in the world, but there's a bunch of roller coasters, and there's a small theme park right in the middle of this mall.
Oh, right.
It's so fucking, it's ridiculous. And it's just, it's a tourist trap. That's the whole, the whole point of it is it's welcome all those with disposable incomes, come here and we'll take care of you. And one of the things that had that giant sign above it was a virtual reality thing. So where you go in and they give you headsets and they give you backpacks, and then they've got just free roaming virtual reality. And there's three stories or scenes you can choose from. And one of them was a Star Wars themed one. And we went and did the Star Wars virtual reality thing. So you put on your headset and your backpack and you're a stormtrooper and you're going through and I can't even remember what the story was. It's absolutely incredible. There's heat coming from lava and wind in your face. And it's just
this sounds sick.
utterly amazing, right? Absolutely worth the dollars that I spent on it. Just too many dollars. It was really great. It was me, my wife, and my brother-in-law, and then his, at the time, girlfriend and now fiance, which is all very exciting. But long story short, there's a bit right at the end where Darth Vader is in front of you, right? And he wasn't. And then he is. And then he starts floating towards you, right? Because he's like over there. He's like 6 foot, like 12 foot away or something. You're standing one end of the room. It's like darkness. You hear this like, and a red lightsaber just appears in the shadow. And it's fucking terrifying because all of your senses are going, this is real. Everything is real. And Darth Vader's standing over there and he floats and he comes running towards you. And then suddenly, wouldn't you know it, this spaceship crashes through a wall and you've got to jump onto the spaceship and then you fly away. However, I was being all like chivalrous and nice and I let everyone else get onto this spaceship first. And what happened was, because I was last onto the spaceship, the video that was playing in my headset was obviously running at just like a normal speed. It didn't take into account the fact that I might not have been on the spaceship yet. So this spaceship, from my very real perspective, was flying away from me whilst Darth Vader was floating towards me.
Oh my God.
And I shat myself and I ran towards the spaceship and I jumped. But obviously in the real world, nothing had moved. Everything was in the same place. And I slammed headfirst into a wall.
I love that story. You tell it so well.
Like a Christmas party, there will be a bunch of kids who work there all watching like videos, security footage of me just slamming into a wall. I cut up my middle finger, which I think is like still fucked to this day. So,
oh my God. I was thinking you looked a bit more 2D than the last time I saw you.
No, I refuse to exist in that third dimension now. Because
you've turned into like a 1991 like computer game where you look to the top of your head now. Nicholas, there's no way you're going to beat that story.
Like, no.
Like, I can't either. Nobody can. It will actually go down in the history of storytelling as one of the best Star Wars virtual reality stories.
No, that was a pretty sick story, but mine is going to be really underwhelming, but I'll tell it anyway. I think it was last year when we were in Iceland doing a festival.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet Plush Care, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
And, we're doing the concert. Like, everything's going smoothly. And we have this dance sequence at the end of the show. And
Do you always do a dance sequence at the end of the show?
What?
Do you always do a dance sequence at the end of the show?
Yeah. So everybody has their move, and like I have the like the best move. So I end up with like splitting, like how do you call it? Like
doing the splits.
Yeah. But I've never like practiced it. I just do it. So when I did it that time, I ended up with my like my left ankle like I twisted it so hard. I screamed so hard when I landed that split. And then I got up and we're like, thank you so much for being here. Thank you so much for listening to us. And there's this synth solo, and then we end this whole show. And I was like, I was sitting down playing the last part. I was like almost crying. It was the worst. I had to go to the doctor. Like,
oh my god, that's.
But I heard like a snap when I landed the split, so I thought I like broke my foot, but. Oh, happy.
That would have been like, imagine you had it that got stood up after that, went to the microphone. Guys, thank you so much.
That would be funny though.
Nicholas, wait till you like hit 30. If you try and do the splits at 30, like you'll probably have to go to like A and E. You'll probably die if you try and do the splits at 30. You explode.
So 8 years to go. So, okay. Yeah.
How like calmly and coolly you're explaining the end of your show as if it's not a big thing, and yet you've spoken about doing the splits and there being some crazy synth solo at the end of your show, and the whole time you're just like, you know, it's not a big thing, it's fine.
Nicholas, I'm picking up like sort of Bruno Mars kind of vibes like at the end of the show.
Bruno Mars like 8-bit version. It's really stupid. We look so stupid. I think it's funny.
Right, guys.
You were in the parking lot earlier. That's how I know you.
Give us an example of a time that you've had a celebrity or musician encounter, maybe an embarrassing or life-affirming moment with your favorite pop star. It could be from meeting somebody at the toilets of a pub to hanging out with them in their penthouse apartment, or just bumping into them in the street. Let's stay with Jack. On this one, I know for a fact, having like even winning the Brits Critics' Choice so early on in your career, like you would have met everybody.
Yeah,
everybody.
I got a pretty bad one. I you know, get your nets out because I'm about to drop some names.
Sweet.
Yeah. So, in like 2014, 2015, I struck up a pretty unlikely friendship with actor Aaron Paul, who played Jesse in Breaking Bad. And Aaron's become a really, really good friend of mine, and his family are really close to me and my wife, Sarah. Whenever we're in LA, we often really try and make sure that we spend time with them. Like, he's become a really, really close friend. But the kind of first like month of our friendship, he had come to see me do some shows when I was in LA, and he invited me to do a private show at his house. And this was obviously a really big deal for me, because I was really early in my career. Like, album hadn't come out yet. I don't think the album was even going to come out for like another year at this point. Like, I was very much in the beginning of like the bubbling of my career. But he was telling me that he does these house shows, and the whole point is he wants to create an environment in his home where he can invite his best friends over and show off an artist that he loves. That's the whole point of it. It's a really like really encouraging environment to be in.
It's like the equivalent of like me playing somebody something on my like phone and going, isn't that really good, but not having as much money as
of 50 people overlooking like Hollywood Boulevard. but I remember him telling me, because obviously I think he enjoyed being able to like amp up and kind of not show off a bit, but I think he noticed I was nervous, and so he fed that nervous energy and made me more nervous because he's insane like that. But I was obviously pretty nervous about the whole thing, and he was like, look, bud, don't worry about it, okay? Like, I've sent the most amount of invites for any show that I've done for this show, and I've told them all that you're this really incredible dude that I like. But that's no need to, you know, don't be worried about it. And yeah, and the only people so far who have said no have been, I've had a few no's back, and it's, you know, like Katy Perry can't make it and Woody Harrelson can't make it. So don't, you know, and Bruno Mars can't make it. Yeah, so don't worry about it. Like, that's, it's all fine. I'm like, those are the people who can't make it. Who are the people who can? Anyway, long story short, I'm at the thing and I'm freaking out because all these people are arriving and it's people I recognize. And but so far, nothing that's making me like totally freak out. I'm like, no, this is going to be good. I've got a piano and a guitar and I'm going to sing some songs. I love doing that. Anyway, I'm standing in this kitchen. I'm talking to my then manager, and I've got a beer in my hand, and my back is facing the door of Aaron's house. And this door is just open. It's like, if you know where he lives and you know what's going on, come in. And I hear this voice and I immediately recognize it. My eyes widen and I stare at my manager who's in front of me, and he can see the door over my shoulder. And I hear Aaron respond to this voice at the door, and he goes, "Buddy, hey, come in." And I stare at my manager looking for confirmation that it just isn't who I think it is. And he shyly looks at his drink and turns away because he knows how important this is about to be for me, because the guy who walked through the door is A, one of the biggest pop stars in the world, and B, one of the main reasons I started to be a performer and a musician. And it was Justin Timberlake and his then very pregnant wife, Jessica Alba. So they ended up actually having the baby a few days later.
I'm calling it Jack.
No, I did try. The story is awkward because what happened was I did the performance and it went really well. I did, the first song I did was an old song I used to play a lot called I Couldn't Want You Anyway. And at the end of it, the first person who applauded was Justin, and he like made a big deal about it. Like, it was this huge thing. And afterwards I went and I chatted to him and ended up getting his phone number. But the awkward thing was, is like, I remember doing, I used to do a bit in that set where I would do a cover of You Should Let Me Love You. Mario, and I would always sing, I would always do the cover and then end it by singing the middle eight of that song as a duet between Michael McDonald and Michael Jackson, because I think it's some of the finest middle eight writing, and it's like a Michael McDonald song or Michael Jackson song.
Yeah.
And I do it as a duet between those two. Obviously completely forgetting that in front of me was Justin Timberlake, who is quite famously renowned for doing a Michael McDonald impression. This is when it gets all niche and very embarrassing for me. Afterwards, he's like, "Hey, good Michael McDonald impression. I do a Michael McDonald impression." I was like, "Justin, I know this." He goes, "Yeah, there's a Saturday Night Live skit that I've always wanted to do, but we've never been able to do it because it's too long. And the sketch is, it's called Michael McDonald's McDonald's. And it's about Michael McDonald wakes up one day furious with the limited amount of fast food options for like healthy people. And so he makes his own one called McDonald's, totally unaware of the fact that a McDonald's chain already exists. That's it. That's the funniest bit of the whole sketch. And Justin was like, and they've never put it on because it's 7 minutes long and the joke's in the first 30 seconds.
Yeah.
And then I jokingly sung back to him. I was like, "Lol, actually, that's really funny because Michael McDonald doing the McDonald's theme tune is great." Like, ba-da-ba-ba-ba. And I did that. And then my brain went, "Justin Timberlake wrote that theme tune."
That's right. I forgot about that.
And I said nothing for the rest of the night. I shut down completely. The embarrassment of knowing that what I'd done was a poor Michael McDonald impression of a melody that this guy had written at him as if that was like really funny.
What was his reaction? Like, did he laugh or did he like, oh?
Insane person had done something insane, but he was too committed to the conversation that he had to be like, ha! That's it. Anyway,
that would have kept you awake.
And I haven't spoken to him since.
Oh. Did he give you a number and it was like one digit too short?
No, we had a chat for a few days and it was really cool. And then I think I might have just overdone it. And I bumped into him at a New Year's Eve party the next year and it was like actually awkward, which is a real shame because he's like a huge inspiration to me.
I told you this, Jack, beforehand. Don't send Justin Timberlake pictures of your penis. Like, it's just not what you should be doing.
No, I sent him pictures of his. No, I don't. That's
where did you get them from?
I'll never know.
Nicholas, moving on to you. What about your sort of like encounters with legends? I guess, like, who have you bumped into?
I don't have any embarrassing stories yet. But I found it really cool to, when I was in LA in 2018, I think it was, we were at this like Converse event kind of thing, me and my band. we were invited to Tyler, the Creator's store, the golf shop in LA. So we were like hanging out and people were like checking out the clothes. There were people from all over the country and all over the world, like influencers and photographers and stuff. We had been to the golf store, so it wasn't like, wow, we're here again. Because we were there like a couple of days earlier. But on the way out, I was like, I was trying to find something to buy for my girlfriend, and found a sweater, and I was the last guy out from the store. And we went, I don't know, for some reason, we went out the back door. And they were like, everybody was talking, what if Tyler's here? What if Tyler's here? And maybe he's in the back, maybe he's in his car or in the parking lot or something. And was like, if he's not in the store, he's not gonna be here. But I was walking out. I'm a huge fan of Tyler, the Creator. Walking out the back door, and suddenly I felt this like, I don't know, like this like poof of air, like, because Tyler was shooting at me with like this gun that shoots air. I don't know what it's called. I was like, what the heck? Who is doing this? I looked and was like, holy shit, freaking Tyler. And when we stopped to look at each other, it was like, I was like super starstruck. It was like, oh, this kid has some cool stuff. I was like, wow, he knows me. That's crazy. I didn't know that he knew who I was. And
had he heard your music?
Yeah.
Wow.
So that was kind of crazy to me. And then I was like, yeah, we have to go and stuff. And then I asked, can I take a picture with you? And my manager was standing right next to me. It was like, he doesn't take pictures with people anymore. But I asked anyway, and was like, okay. And then I got a picture with him. I was like hugging him and stuff. So
you won.
Yeah, it was really cozy and really nice.
Yeah, no, good, man.
I've got a similar story about Tyler, the Creator, to that one, but he didn't like me as much as he liked you. Tyler, the Creator, before he got banned to come into the UK, he did a press trip, and he hates doing press, and he hates doing interviews, and he hates journalists, and he hates radio hosts. So, like, basically, I am the bane of his life. His label like tried to get him to do stuff. So what he did was, he put a bus of journalists that met outside the Vice building, put all the journalists on a bus and drove them to a paintballing thing outside of London. Him and his like mates, it was not Future Lads, but it was like him and his like crew and his security had these massive like repeater, like machine gun, like paintball guns. And the journalists were given these like tiny little pea shooters that if you shot them, it wouldn't even go like two bits ahead of itself. So we ran around getting absolutely mauled by Tyler, the Creator, who was like laughing maniacally with a machine gun shooting journalists with paintballs. But I fired one in and hit him. And then I got repeated on by his like bouncer. His bouncer jumped in front of him like Kevin Costner and the bodyguard and just shot over and over again. I ended up getting a photo taken with him, and he really didn't want to get the photo taken. And maybe I'll put it up on Instagram actually after this goes live, because he looks so morbidly depressed. Like, he couldn't look like he wanted to be there less. It was just like, so big ups to Tyler. I'm not going to ever hold my breath about getting him on the podcast. Like, well, very, very good answers. I like that. We have one final bit, which is, I fucking love this band, and that is a band or artist that could do with a leg up, that might be at the beginning stages of their career, that you think are worth our Slacker audience checking out. I'm going to start with you, Nicholas. Who do you think's amazing that we need to hear about?
I mean, there's a lot of good music here in Norway. And there's this guy who's from my city, and he has been a huge inspiration to me in my teenage years. He's called Sondre Lerche. He put out an album like very recently, and it's so good. I recommend it to everyone I meet, because there's a song in it that is called "Why Would I Let You Go," and it's like this. It's almost like a classical theme song, like for a romantic movie or something. Because like it's very Mozart inspired, but it's like a ballad. It's a beautiful love song.
How do you spell his name? So if anybody wants to like type that in.
Sondre Lerche. S-O.
Yeah, I'm like going like, I could make a fucking stab at it. Like.
S-O-N-D-R-E. L-E-R-C-H-E.
Ah, a nice and snappy Norwegian spelling as usual there. Jack, what about you? You look like you're going through your iTunes at the minute, or your like Spotify playlists or whatever.
But there is, I mean, best thought, there's a guy that I started listening to last year, well, probably the year before that, actually, about 2 years ago when I was writing my album, Love, Death and Dancing. And it's a guy who has been around for a little while, and he's been in the industry kind of as a writer and a producer, and has been in bands and stuff like that. But he wrote an album when I listened to it, I go through these weird moments with falling in and out of love with writing songs. And often when I fall back in love with writing songs, it's because I've found a songwriter who writes songs that makes me want to then start writing again. And not in a case of like, oh, I want to compete with that, in a case that's simply just like, this has made me remember and realize what it's like to write just fucking good music. So like when I wrote the first album, it was Sun Lux that did that for me, who were just an incredible band from America, who totally unlocked to me what it meant to be able to do kind of like neoclassical pop music, and just like walls of sound with intricacy and detail and genuine emotion. But this time around, it's a guy called Ethan Grusker, who was in a band called The Bell Brigade. They are two albums that came out, and they haven't released another album since. They're a brother-sister duo. Also, as well, crazily enough, the grandchildren of John Williams.
Wow, okay.
Which was like an absolute headfuck when I found that album. I'd already fallen in love with their music and then found out that they've literally got it in their genes.
Yeah.
But no, Ethan released an album called Slow Motionary a couple of years ago, which is just exquisite songwriting and tasteful production. And then he released an album this year called On Guard, which is exactly the same. And he's in the same camp of writers and recorders and producers as like Blake Mills and Phoebe Bridges and Perfume Genius and kind of that whole, just like people who look at pop music with wonder and excitement and paint it with a interesting and intellectual brush. And I think that's just my favorite kind of music.
So what do we type in to get this guy?
So Ethan is his first name, and then Grusker is his second name, Gruska. And he's got an album out this year called On Guard, Wicked. G-U-R.
Well, do you know what I'll do? I will list these. I will put a link to this in the description of the podcast and on the YouTube channel as well. Guys, thank you so much for being my Slacker friends this week. Jack, well done on releasing your record this year. If any Slacker friends have not listened to it yet, what the fuck are you doing, man? Go and listen to it. Nico, you've got a single out that's just dropped on us this week. Tomorrow. Midnight.
Today.
There we go. and your debut album's coming out in October.
Yeah, that's right. 23rd.
Happy days, man. Happy days. The world needs good music, and I've got two incredible writers here today. So we were blessed on this episode of Slacker Friends, guys. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, man.
Thanks for having us, man. Thank you.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.